conservative liberal. We're in week 33, 2008. That's the way we do things around here. We do them by the week. Let's see, what's on my mind today? You know, I thought for a moment that I would discuss why we're here. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know, does anybody really care why I'm here? I know that people out there care why I think they care that they're here, but I don't know if they care so much that I'm here. Maybe they do. Maybe you do. Maybe people out there care enough. Well, if you're listening, that means you're interested in what I have to say and all my views of the state of the world. So let's ponder that for a second. We can talk about how we're here, why we're here. Is it some kind of crazy just coincidence? Is it some kind of magical, dream that we're just thinking that we're here, but it's not really real? Is it some kind of, I don't know what I think. Let me just say what I think. I think that it's God's world. I think that it's his purpose. I know that those of you out there, and there are a lot of you, who don't really maybe believe that there's a God. I heard a great story by one of the pastors that I listen to once in a while. You know, I'm Jewish and I listen to rabbis, but I also listen to pastors. I really like the biblical stories. I think they have a lot of meaning and I think they're very helpful to me. And I think that those of you who are interested in that already know what I'm talking about, and those who don't, I say give it a try. It's something that it's worthwhile. So in any event, going back to the story that this pastor was explaining, and I thought it was just fantastic because it had to do with, you know, non-believers. It had to do with God versus man. So the story goes like this. God and the man were having a conversation, and the man was saying, I don't believe there's a God because I can do anything that God can do. So God says, okay, so how about this? We have a contest. I'm not saying this verbatim, but this is kind of how it went down. So we're going to have a contest. So God says to the man, okay, I'm going to make a man. I think that's one of the most amazing beings there is. So I'm going to make a man. So God builds a man out of dirt from scratch, just builds a man out of dirt. So the man says, that's pretty good. I can do that because with technology and everything, I can do that. I'll start with the dirt and I can do it too. So the man reaches down and he starts reaching for the dirt and God says, wait a minute, get your own dirt. See, it's very profound, but it's very poignant at the same time. So anyways, let's see. What we like to do around here is I like to play excerpts from my favorite talk shows. Some guys on the left, most of the guys on the right, because I just think that the guys on the right make the most sense and they're most interesting. But, you know, every now and then we'll pick up somebody from the left. And then we finish off the show with a little bit of religion, a little bit of faith, a little positive thinking. And I also, go over, let's say, some of the world events and the things that are going on today. So let's go to our first excerpt and see what's on this gentleman's mind. And see if I can rip them apart. That's what I like to do. I don't, necessarily want to agree with who these excerpts. I'm playing these excerpts because I can find fault with these things. This is what I like to do. I like to dig and find and rip wherever I can, because even with the guys on the right, that's the most challenging, is to find their faults, and that's what I live for that. All right, so here we go. First excerpt.
Let me ask you something. What if Vladimir Putin came to America and started to give military advice and weapons and ammunition and tanks and airplanes and anti-aircraft missiles to a secessionist Texas or something to that effect? What do you think we would do? Say thank you? We are in Mr. Putin's neighborhood. Why in the world Bush's meddling is incomprehensible other than oil? I cannot believe that he's getting away with this. And as an American, it grieves me to have to say this. For Cheney to warn Putin is astonishing. Have these people learned nothing from Iraq and Afghanistan? Have they learned nothing from a war that will not end, that they began for questionable reasons, on the pretext of weapons of mass destruction, which have still never been found? Now both it's not bad enough that Bush and Cheney warned Putin, but McCain comes along and warns Russians of severe long-term negative consequences. And the laugh to me is they say that if you want to be part of the civilized world, are these people living in a time warp? Are these people insane? Are they crazier and more dangerous than I believe? And McCain must be out of his mind altogether to make such a statement to Russia. Now, why did this happen? Is the West responsible for the war between Russia and Georgia? As you just heard, the Russian ambassador, in an earlier interview on CNN, stated clearly that Rice was there 2 days before the Georgians incurred into this area.
I have never seen you more wrong. I don't think you thought this out enough, Michael, because you're not clear on really what a catastrophe this is, of what's happening. Russia's an ally, I would think, to some degree, but we were also in a war with them. Do you remember the Cold War? Also, Georgia, I think, is more of an ally to us. They're totally against the terrorists, and they've supported us in every situation. Russia's always been a thorn in our side. So, you know, I don't know. If you're going to compare this situation to what's happening or what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, then you're just completely off base, because it's just completely different. When, you know, you're dealing with terrorists and people who cut people's heads off, you're dealing with a 6th century mentality, that's something we have to strongly deal with. Right now, we're just, you know, McCain and Bush, whatever, we're just throwing out the I guess what you would call the diplomatic side of it, saying, hey, you know, what's going on there? What are you doing? This isn't right. Now, then pull back and do something about it. Or, you know, I mean, we're not making any kind of threats, I think, yet. But I think what we have to do is show that we're part of the civilized world, and that maybe they need to think clearly what they're doing. They're destroying a country. And we can't just, as the United States, just sit idly by and let this happen, or without saying anything about it. I don't know if there's anything we can really truly do. I really don't. Because I think Michael is right about the fact that you're dealing with a superpower, and I don't think you really want to go to war with a superpower. I mean, let's just be frank there. But let's just say that if we think that what they're doing is wrong, and there'll be consequences, maybe financially, and nobody, that's the worst place you could hurt somebody, folks, and that is in their pocketbook. We need to make sure that they know that we're mindful of this, and that we're going to spread the word as best we can. And I think that's what our leaders are doing right now. All right, let's go on to our next excerpt. What do we got here? Here we go.
Now for me, I couldn't stomach that. I could not stomach what he did. All right? Now, he ran around saying that there were 200,000, and then he downgraded to 150,000 later after I called him on it. 200,000 veterans sleeping on grates and under bridges because of the bad economy. That's just a lie. All right? The latest statistics that HUD, okay, came out with on July 29th, just about 10 days ago, say there are 125,000 chronically homeless persons in America, and 13% of them are veterans. Now do the math. So Edwards is running around saying 200,000 under bridges veterans, and it's just a lie, and I know it was a lie, okay? And we called him on it, and that's what, and then he tried to gin that up to get his far left kook base, you know, to do this, that, and the other thing. But again, let me give you the stats. Well, let me run the first soundbite. Okay, run the Edwards soundbite. He downgrades it from 200,000 to 150. Go.
We will never stand by while 150,000 men and women who wore our uniform, veterans, go to sleep every night on grates and under bridges. Not in our America, not in our America, and not in our America when Barack Obama is president of the United States of America.
All right, that was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, May 14th, okay? Now, it's just a simple lie. There was nothing even close about it. Again, this is from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, released July 29, 2008, long after I called them on it, because we knew this was bull. 125,000 Americans chronically homeless, 13% of them veterans.
Why does everything with this guy have to be exact numbers? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, why is he, you know, he's going after John Edwards because his numbers are wrong? You know, everybody exaggerates. I'm just happy that John Edwards is calling attention to the fact that we got veterans that are homeless. Why don't we focus on that, Mr. O'Reilly, and do something about that instead of complaining about the fact that he's exaggerating that. If it's true, and if there's even one veteran that's homeless, we, as a people of the United States, we need to do something about it. And we know that there's more than one. So we need to get the programs, we need to help these people, and that's what, you know, they've done enough sacrifice. We need to make sure that they're in the kind of programs that will give them, you know, the old adage, You give a man a piece of fish, you know, he eats for a night. You teach him how to fish, he can eat for life. That's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about that we're just going to have these programs for just handouts. We got to be proactive and get these people help so they can help themselves. But at least Mr. Edwards is calling attention to it. So I don't care that he's fudged the numbers. The numbers don't mean a thing. All right, let's go to the next one. Here we go.
I mean, that hurt, you know, that hurts to listen to it.
Makes me sick.
It hurts to listen to it. And when you're presented with facts and you present them back to the public, you lose everything. You know something and you're directly asked and you don't tell the truth. In my opinion, you're disqualified. And all this talk about, well, it's really not going to have an effect on John Edwards. Really? Go ask Rudy Giuliani how it worked out for him. Go ask Newt Gingrich how's that working for you. I mean, the fact is that you lose so much with the public trust that you are politically dead. You may be able to go join some advocacy group and raise a few bucks and, you know, do stuff like that. But when it comes to, you know, holding office, having the responsibility of having to tell the American people the truth, you've already been tested and you failed. You've already been tested in front of the people and you had an opportunity to tell the truth. Had Edwards had said, you know, as much as it hurts, the National Enquirer is correct in their reporting.
I would say it's really bad for Mr. Edwards at this point in time when his own liberal lefties are turning against him. But I still comes back to me that I don't blame the guy. I don't have a problem with what he's done. I think that, you know, you're a public figure and you've got to deal with things and, you know, you got to try to be as, you know, careful as you can about protecting your reputation and your family and everything. But, you know, as a man, men do things that maybe we shouldn't do, but you know, sometimes it's just being a man, and I can't express enough to how hard it must have been for him to have to deal with this and have to confront it. And as somebody like himself, who is truly, you know, has a calling for wanting to better himself, obviously, first. I mean, if you spend that much money on your hair, you know, you're obviously really into yourself. And that's fine. I mean, you know, if he can afford it, that's great. But I think he does have a calling to want to help people. And you know, and he's a good speaker, and he's a good-looking guy, and he's got it all together as far as what he can do. Now, I don't know how if people are truly going to hold this against him. I really don't. I don't think so. I think we have a short memory when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't know how far he's going to make it. I don't think he can run as a president. But I certainly think he can be in some kind of higher office and be very effective. And that's what I think about that. I think that people just got to stay out of people's personal business. I think we all have personal business, and we just need to, you know, we gotta just leave that alone. That's something that we have to be able to have in our lives, is our own private lives. That's, I mean, if someone starts going into our heads and start telling us what we have to think, is that what's gonna come next? So let's be very, very, very concerned about this and try to get the people out there in the public to not go after people or think certain things about people for what they do in their own personal life. And I don't consider him a liar. I just think he was trying to protect himself and his family, and as anybody would do. All right, let's go on to our next one. Here we go.
Rather than facing hard work, it's a lot easier to become a victim.
Yep. And that's the attitude I take. And
Yeah. So you have to learn some relaxation exercises so that when you start getting bad grades, you go to the teacher and ask for help, or you go to a tutor and ask for help, or you think about how much more you have to study that you haven't. In other words, you face the challenge rather than going off into, I've been molested, I've been beaten, I've been this, I've been that. Because you need success. You need to feel control of your life.
Yeah, it's mostly emotionally that I get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I understand that. At your age, that's not unusual. I'm just telling you, you have to face it instead of running away from it.
And I don't know. Right. And
you have to face it instead of running away from it. I'm going to keep repeating that until you.
How do I face?
Wow, you finally stayed with me.
How do I face?
You go back.
Facing issues.
Okay. Why don't you go into counseling?
I'm in counseling, but we don't really talk about this.
Well, I think you ought to bring it up on your next session.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, dear. Good luck with that.
Everybody out there who listens to people to get advice, be warned. People who give you advice who don't know you are entertainers. They may mean well, but they don't know really what's going on. It takes a lot of time to get to know somebody to really be able to help them resolve their problems, to come up with solutions for their problems. So these quick fixes, as I stated in my last show, are very dangerous. So I know that these shows exist for, you know, people to be able to call in and talk to their favorite, you know, radio shrink and try to, you know, get certain things done or resolved. It doesn't work that way, folks. I think that there's a lot of soul searching that has to come in play with your own, in your own being. And that's what it really takes. I mean, I wish that they would, you know, just make it real simple for people when people call in and want advice. They just should just say, listen, this is your choice. This is your decision. These are your options. And maybe put it in the more of the form like, well, this is what I would do if I was in that situation, because it's hard to really be in your exact situation, because I can't really spend all day listening to all the things that have really gone on and all the different variations of things that have happened. But from what you're telling me, this is what I would do in your situation. I think that's the approach that should be taken. Anyways, just folks, when you're out there in the world and you're listening to your Dr. Phil's and your Dr. Laura's and your Dr. this and your Dr. that, they don't know you. They don't really, really know the real you. So just, you know, call in, see what they have to say. But really, when it comes down to it, make your own choices. And if it helps you and And it gives you a little bit of, you know, I don't know, something else to think about because you weren't thinking about certain things and they've helped you. And maybe they've helped people. I don't know. I know this much. People got to help themselves. All right, let's go on to the next one. Here we go.
Married to a non-believer, and the non-believer gets up and leaves and divorces you, that you're free to divorce again. But these would be the confines that would define whether, one, you should get a divorce, and secondly, if you should be remarried. Does that answer your question?
No, it seemed to state that remarriage is a no-no because of the divorce, a divorced person.
Well, no, listen, all divorce is bad. All divorce, even with good reason. All divorce dilutes the purpose of marriage and God's will, all of it. However, there is times where it's allowed. It's not God's ultimate will or what God wants, but there's times where it's allowed sort of because you've been put in a situation where it wasn't what you did, it was what someone else did that caused the divorce. So in the sake of infidelity, the man went and had sex, and that kind of dissolved the marriage because they were not living up to the vows that were made. But you're never going to find a place where God goes, all right, this is great, and divorce is great in this case, and remarriage is great. It's going to be something that you need to go through the scriptures and really find if your particular case is legitimate or not.
All right. You know, I'll tell you, this really, really upsets me. I don't know, when I hear people call in and they're looking for someone to, you know, I mean, the guy calls himself Jesus, and they're looking for someone to just really help them through a very trying time. And, you know, he talks about this divorce thing and that divorce shouldn't be taken lightly. Of course it shouldn't be taken lightly. But you think that getting divorced is a sin? I mean, that's the way he expresses himself. It sounds like it's a sin to be divorced. I don't think so. I think that when two people get married, I think at the time of their divorce, I think they're two completely different people, because I think people change, people evolve, people grow this way, people grow that way. And it's sometimes it just can't work anymore. And it doesn't mean you have to point fingers, well, you did this and you did that and you messed around, and because people can be forgiven. If the love is there and it's strong enough, your spouse will forgive you, no matter what you do. Well, let's not go that far. I mean, you can't murder and maim a bunch of people and have your spouse expect, you know. But I mean, if you were to stray, listen, ladies, men are men. Men do things they shouldn't do. I'm not saying all men, but I would say most men, because it's just the nature. It's in our wiring. It's very difficult. So maybe go back to listen to Dr. Laura, and she'll teach all you women how to make sure your men never stray, because she seems to have all the answers when it comes to that. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little facetious, but that's my nature as well. All right, let's go on to our final excerpt here. Here we go.
Say, what happens when the bottom drops out of your life? When you experience some great calamity, like the total loss of your home through a fire or maybe a flood. Or how about an unwanted divorce? How terrible is that? Or even worse, the death of a loved one who meant the world to us. Or maybe some lingering, intense personal suffering, and it just doesn't go away. You know, some lose their faith in God when they go through times like that. However, there are others who find hope to endure. They even find a deeper meaning to life as a result of their strong, deeply spiritual and moral convictions. Many even see God proving that He is alive during those times, that He's caring for their needs and purifying their characters.
There was just such a time as this when the bottom dropped out of the life of Jeremiah. And by the way, he recorded for us in his book of Lamentations that experience. He lamented the horrid conditions of his people, Israel. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord their God. And to make matters worse, they had turned to and begun to worship idols. Hopefully, we will never have to live through conditions like that in our country.
You never know with these things. I mean, God's will is God's will. And that's why those of you out there who think they can do and say whatever they want, maybe you can. But always think that there's some kind of situation that you'll get yourself in by doing certain actions that maybe you shouldn't do. So everything that you do out there, folks, try to think things through. Try to think what are the repercussions for this? What is this going to do for me? Is this going to be good for me? Is this going to be bad for me? You know, but life doesn't always work that way. Life comes at us fast. And sometimes we fly by the seat of our pants in certain situations, and sometimes we just make the wrong turn. And, you know, I think it's important to believe that, you know, that there's a higher form out there and that it is God, that you can, you know, say to this, I don't know how you would, this entity, that I have been wrong. I have done the wrong thing. Look at yourself in the mirror and say those things. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll be better for it. All right, let's see. Let's recap the news of the day. We know we've talked a little bit, we touched a little bit on the John Edwards situation. You know how I feel about that. Anybody notice that the oil prices have dropped? It's a good thing. You know, the stock market has taken a little, gone up a little bit. That's a good thing. You know, what I don't understand is when things are really lousy, we hear a lot about it. But when things are better, we hear very little. I don't get it. Must be the liberal media trying to make the Republicans, the conservatives, look bad. Well, you know what? That doesn't help. It doesn't help, folks, because we're all in this together. So, you know, let's not be so greedy on who we think should be our next president by messing with things and not really telling things like they are or like it is, because we all need hope. All right. And, you know, when you hear good things, it gives us all hope and we do better and we keep doing better. Let's see. Congratulations to Michael Phelps. I've been listening to things about this guy. Incredible human being. The human fish. I don't know, the human dolphin. I mean, this guy is so evolved, it's unbelievable the things that this guy's have accomplished. But you know what? It comes from the hard work that he's put in. Obviously, he's got a natural gift, but it comes from hard work. And so whatever you do out there, folks, do it as best you can, put the work into it, and good things will happen. That's what I truly believe. I think that's about it for today. Or for this week. I wish it was for the day, because then I would like to be able to talk to you people every day. But it's only for the week for now. So I'm going to leave you with the fact that, what can I say? I love y'all. Maybe I love most of you. I don't know if I love y'all, but I think I love most of you, because I think most of you are good. I think most people are good. So God bless, and look at yourselves and better yourselves. And everything will just come together and the world will get better. And that's what I believe, and I want you to believe the same thing. We'll see you next time.